Morning, brethren. Just 2 weeks ago, we observed the Feast of Pentecost, a feast that pictures us coming into the family of God. Every year, we are reminded at this holy day that we are people of God. Being a person of God, we represent Him to the rest of the world. This is a tremendous responsibility that we should take very seriously in all our actions. Today I am going to talk about a man of God and the expectations God had of him. He was a prophet who was clearly inspired by God. A whole chapter in 1 Kings is written about this man of God, but his name is never given. The story of the man of God takes place during the reign of Rehoboam. Rehoboam had just lost control of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and what once was Israel had now become two separate kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. Although Rehoboam wasn't the greatest king, the new kingdom of Israel had a much worse king named Jeroboam. When you read through 1 and 2 Kings, the evil kings in Israel are many times likened to Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a prime example of someone who didn't learn from history. He started his reign by setting up two images of golden calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel. God was not exactly happy the first time Israel did this, and wasn't happy this time either. This is where the man of God enters the story. Turn to 1 Kings 13, verse 1. 1 Kings 13, verse 1. First Kings 13, verse 1. And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. Bethel is the setting for this entire story. Bethel was in the territory given to the tribe of Ephraim. It was about 11 miles north of Jerusalem. Bethel is many times known for being the place where Jacob had his dream about angels climbing the ladder into heaven. But at this point in history, it was one of the centers of pagan worship set up by Jeroboam and the location of his second golden calf. Let's continue in verse 2. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you priests of the high places who make offerings on you. And human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. So here, the man of God does two things. He first makes a prophecy that a man by the name of Josiah would bring an end to the worship occurring at this high place. And second, he tells them about a sign that would show this prophecy would be fulfilled. Let's continue in verse 4. And when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him! And his hand which he stretched out against him dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as it was before. So here the sign is fulfilled, and the man of God asks God to heal Jeroboam. God grants him his request and shows mercy to Jeroboam. Let's continue in reading in verse 7. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. For so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. Let's drop down to verse 14. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak and said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. So God has given the man of God specific instructions to not eat, drink, or return by the way he came. When Jeroboam asked him to stay, the man of God was not even tempted to stay because he knew he was evil. But when the old prophet asked him to stay and told him a lie, he stayed. There was a difference between the two that allowed this to happen. The man of God knew Jeroboam was evil, and the old prophet was like him. He was another person of God. But like all humans, the old prophet was not sinless. And in this instance, he had lied to the man of God, causing the man of God to go against the specific instructions God had given him. Let's continue in the story in verse 20. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah. Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the tombs of your fathers. And after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. So the man of God lost his life because he listened to the lie of the old prophet rather than listening to the original word he had received from God. There are a few lessons we can take away from this story, but I want to focus on a single one. If you take away one thing from the sermonette, take away this lesson. We alone are responsible for keeping the word God has given us. We alone are responsible for keeping the word God has given us. God has given us his word through his Bible. He has opened our minds and revealed his truth to us. With that comes great responsibility. God expects us to follow his word. Just as Eve was responsible for being tricked by the serpent, as Moses was responsible for striking the rock at Kadesh, as Uzzah was responsible for touching the ark, and as the man of God was responsible for believing the lie of the old prophet, we are responsible for upholding the word that God has given us. God does not want excuses. He does not want us to blindly follow men. He wants us to follow his word. He does not want us to be ignorant. He wants us to read his word and know his way. He does not want us to become comfortable in our past good deeds. He wants us to continue carrying out his word. I'm not going to read the rest of the story in 1 Kings 13, but I will give a synopsis of what happened. The body of the man of God laid on the road uneaten by the lion until the old prophet went and got him. The old prophet buried him and buried him and requested that he be buried beside him when he dies. The story in 1 Kings 13 seems a little unfair. Jeroboam hadn't really been punished, and the old prophet wasn't punished for his lie, but the man of God lost his life. But this is not the end of the story of the man of God. Turn to 2 Kings 23, verse 15. 2 Kings 23, verse 15. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the man of God. And this is speaking of Josiah. 2 Kings 23, verse 15. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it, according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed, who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is that monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God, who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. And Josiah removed all the shrines, also the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did them according to all that he had done at Bethel, and he sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars, and burned human bones on them. Despite the sudden end to the man of God is still shown respect by Josiah, and his prophecy is fulfilled. He clearly was a man of God, and his one error doubtfully negated the rest of the good deeds he did throughout his life. His story, though, teaches us a valuable lesson about the expectations God has of his people he gives his word to. God expects us to carry out his word with no excuses. He does not want us to be distracted by others that are saying and doing things contrary to his word. He expects us to know his word and live according to it as flawless as we possibly can. Let us remember the valuable lesson that the story of the man of God teaches us, for we alone are responsible for keeping the word that God has given us.